Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Rob and Rob.
Welcome to Ask Rob and Rob, that reliable fixture of your Tuesday, where you turn up and you hear a couple of property questions answered. We are not going to deviate today from this tried and tested format. We're going to be answering questions for Claire and Brian after a quick reminder of how to send your question in.
Yeah, it remains super simple. You can call in and leave a voicemail on 013 808 0035, or you can go straight to our website, propertyhub.net/ask, and leave a message there. And fortunately, two people have followed that exact process today. So we've got two great questions coming up. In fact, we've got one right now.
Hi, Rob and Rob. My name's Claire. I'm phoning from Nottingham. I'm moving into a house and have borrowed 75% equity from my two-bedroom flat to move. I'm just wondering whether I'd be better off having my flat as a buy-to-let or a Airbnb or holiday let. We're about 10 minutes from Nottingham City Centre, and I've tried Airbnb before, which worked quite well, but I'm thinking of putting the price up slightly this time just to cover costs on the new house as well. So assuming that I do get people in a lot and make a good profit, would I be better off tax-wise having it as a holiday let than I would a buy-to-let?
Thank you for the question, Claire. Let's tackle your direct question first. Would you be better off tax-wise having it as a holiday let? The answer to that is yes, there are a couple of benefits to holiday lets over normal buy-to-lets. You get to offset your mortgage interest in full, regardless of how you own the property. So that's one benefit. And the other is you get better capital gains tax treatment on disposal. But tax, of course, is only one part of the picture. So that's in the pros column. But is there anything else in the cons column that we need to balance against that? Well, the first thing to look at is, can you do it? So you mentioned it's a flat, so your lease might not allow short-term letting. That's one thing to check out. You also said that you've borrowed against that flat, so will your mortgage allow it? Most of them don't. Or are you willing to take the risk on doing it anyway and hoping the lender doesn't notice? Something that some people do, but may or may not be within your risk tolerance. Assuming that you can do it, then it's a case of, do you want to? So there's a higher workload involved, obviously. That might be something that you're okay with, it might not be, or you might be able to put processes in place that means most of it is done by other people on your behalf. And then there's a numbers aspect, which is the real crux of it, because all holiday letting comes down to occupancy rate. Can you fill enough nights at the price you want to make it all worthwhile? Because it's really easy to look on Airbnb at the headline rate and go, oh wow, multiply that by 30 and I'm doing really well, even with higher costs from cleaning and things like that. But if it's only filled 10% of the time, clearly that's not going to work. So this is where a bit of research is in order. The great thing is, with sites like Airbnb, all the data is there. You can see what other people are doing. So you can go and look at what other properties are available in your area. First of all, are other properties available in your area? If they are, then that's a really good sign because it implies that the demand is there. You can also check how much they're charging per night and how that varies by going and trying to put in different bookings yourself. And critically, you can also look at their calendars to see how much of the time that they're booked up for and start to get an idea of what their occupancy rate is. Now, this can be misleading because people might have blocked off their calendars for other reasons, like they're using the property or they only rent it out some of the time. So you might end up overestimating, but you can get some kind of idea of what your occupancy is likely to be, knock off a bit to be on the safe side and see where that gets you numbers wise. If that still leaves you significantly ahead of where you would be on a long-term let and you're happy with the work involved and you've got a plan for managing that, then go for it.
Wow, Claire, you got your money's worth there. Great answer from Mr. D. Let's see if I can deliver for our next caller.
Hi, Rob and Rob. It's Graham from Leicester. Thanks for all the great content. I've been listening to you for 18 months now. On the back of that, I'm building my portfolio. I did have one. Now I'm soon to have three based on your advice and knowledge. The question for you is the ripple effect. People talking about Sheffield being a good area potentially in the next coming years, and people have talked about Doncaster, the ripple effect, but my question is, what about Rotherham? Do you see Rotherham as a city that will benefit from Sheffield's ripple effect? It's great to have your thoughts, and thanks for the great content.
Hey Brian, thank you for your question. I love that you're trying to find your own hotspot. That's really cool. Now, to answer your question, what about Rotherham? Well, Rotherham is an area you may want to consider as a property investor. It will, in time, benefit from the ripple effect from Sheffield. But a couple of things to be aware of. Sheffield, at this point, as we record in February 2020, is still early in the property cycle and is great value. So there is plenty of opportunity in Sheffield. So you might not need to jump ahead and look for other areas with a ripple effect. That said, Rotherham is really cheap and can offer great value if you get it right. And you have to get it right. With Rotherham being at the prices that it is, so low down, that you want to pick out the very best stuff. Because in any part of a future cycle, it will still be the best stuff in Rotherham. Don't try and be too clever. And the same applies to Sheffield. Don't try and be too clever there if you revert back to looking at Sheffield. The prices are so good at the moment in both those areas that you want to be looking for the very best stuff in Sheffield. Don't try and be too clever and go for something low price in those areas as well. Because while you may do well in the short term, in the long term, you'll do better if you go for the prime stuff. So whichever area you go for, Brian, best of luck to you. I hope you find an investment that works for you and delivers all the returns that you want and need.
So there you go. Two more questions answered, a little bit more knowledge shared. I hope you found this week's episode useful. And if it sparked off a question of your own, remember you can get it to us by calling 013 808 0035 or going to propertyhub.net/ask. And the good news is you've only got to wait a couple of days for your next property fix, because we're going to be back on Thursday, as always, with the Property Podcast. And it's going to be a good one. So we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.